He's mighty. He's mighty awesome. He's great. He's great. He's great. He's great. Awesome. Awesome.
Come on, let's pray together. Are you still thinking about God being awesome? Father, in the name of Jesus, we would, God, again, that you would make your presence obvious in this place. We pray, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Lord, move on us. Stir us again. God, invigorate us. Get us in the right state of mind. Your word declares that in the day that we hear your voice, we would be wise not to harden our hearts, not to turn away, not to fail to recognize. Surely the Lord is in this place. Draw us in closer. God, we now pray that you would be the priority of our moment. And nothing shall interfere between God and his people. Give us again listening ears, prayerful hearts. And God, I pray that you would bless me afresh, standing before the people. Is there a word from the Lord? They have declared. God, give preaching power and authority. Lift me higher. Take me deeper. God, make this moment life-changing. For all of us, we need to hear from you. We are living in perilous times. And we don't know the day or the hour. So Lord, would you make this moment count? Let your name be glorified. Oh God, send an anointing that is fresh. Break up, Lord, the fallow ground. Massage the hardened hearts. Unstop the deaf ears. Remove, Lord, blindness from the eye. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your power. Send your power. Send your power. Into this place, upon this people, upon this preacher, send your power in the name of Jesus. And God, we do pray as we often do that you forgive us our trespass. Oh God, that old things would pass away and all things would now be made new. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Ushers, thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Y'all go ahead and rest. Thank you, ushers. You can find your place to worship with your families. You turn with me in the Old Testament of the Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastical book, if you will. It's in the Old Testament of your Bible, because it may not be a very familiar place of your visitation. If you get to the Song of Solomon, you've gone too far. You'll need to go back to Proverbs and start over. In the Old Testament of the Bible, if you'll stand with us for the moment of our reading. We've been doing this such a long time, I didn't think we'd have to ask, but if you would please, it's a reverence thing. Amen. We're never too fancy or too far removed that we can't reverence God. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of people making excuses for not reverencing God. That was the old way. Well, it was good, so we ought to keep doing it. That's what's wrong with us. We've gotten so highfalutin and fancy that God can't even get us to stand up to hear what he's saying to the church. Shame on a people that will not reverence God in the minimal things. So we ask you to stand if you can. If you cannot stand, we know what you got in your heart. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, please. Chapter 11, if you will, please. And I just want to entertain your hearing for a moment and then enrich your words for a few moments. In the 11th chapter, if you found it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you're still looking, I'll wait for you. If your smartphone loads up slow, you need a faster smartphone. Amen. Verse 1 says, give generously, for your gifts will return to you later. Divide your gifts among many, for you do not know what risk might lie ahead. When the clouds are heavy, the rains come down. When a tree falls, whether south or north, there it lies. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. God's ways are as hard to discern as the pathways of the wind, and as mysterious as a tiny baby being formed in a mother's womb. Be sure to stay busy and plant a variety of crops, for you never know which will grow. Perhaps they all will. You may be seated. Excuse me. God bless you. I want to go back to verse 4, which will serve for us as the central point of our preaching for these next few minutes. From the New Living Translation, and again, I realize that you have different versions of the Word of God, but it'll be a conclusion that we can all agree upon. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 at verse 4, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Would you do me a favor here in the next a few minutes? If you'll just smile and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Pastor's going to preach.
If you wait.
Amen. If you wait. Every day I face the reality that I guess all of us face with each new day and each moment. I face the reality that I am getting older. And I face the reality that in the fact that I'm getting older, there are certain things that I would rather excuse from the process of getting older, but I have no control over them. The fact of the matter is, if I could opt out of some of the things that come with getting older, I would. But life does not afford us that option. I also realize that in facing these realities of aging and time going behind me and not knowing what lies in front of me, that this reality, beloved, has forced me, caused me to shift my prayer time with God. or change my prayer approach to God. I find myself, as I'm getting older, asking God for different things. Asking God for things that are now far more important than they ever were. And one of the things that I find myself feverishly praying unto God is that He would ignite in me a greater sense of urgency. Amen. I keep asking God to remind me that time is no man's to control. I keep asking God, I keep praying to God that He would get me excited every day so that I can work the works of Him that sent me. Nudge your neighbor and say, you do know you have an assignment. It doesn't mean that you have to have a great assignment, but you have an assignment. And what I want to get across to you is that you may not have a great assignment, but every assignment has within it greatness. Boy, I thought you'd like that about yourself. I mean, I'm asking God every day, Rem White, if He would just fire me up and keep me keen and aware of every possibility. There's an old saying that goes, Dean Davis, that you can't see the forest for the trees. So I keep praying to God that I don't miss nothing. I want God to keep me on fire for the Lord. And so I keep asking God that He not allow me to slow down. Not allow me to take too many breaks. But to stay aggressive. To stay intentional. To stay focused. Amen. Some of us know, as we're getting older, we start doing things we did when we were a child. When we were a child, we took naps frequently. Now that we're getting older, naps are frequent. Some of them are unintentional. In the middle of the Young and the Restless, we sleep and wake up and the Bold and the Beautiful gone off. But we get tired a little easier. And so I keep praying to God that I not get so tired so easily. And I keep asking God to send others with the same desires. That we not get tired. That we not just keep pulling over, taking a break. That we not keep giving up before we really give out. So I keep asking God that He would allow me to not settle. At least not without some resistance. There's an old British expositor who said that he didn't want to die and end up with his life in a swamp. And I say, God, I agree with him. I don't want to end up with my life in a swamp. And you know, there's a church mentality. There's a spiritual hymn that we sing that addresses it by saying, may the works I've done speak for me. Nudge your neighbor and ask him, have you been busy? I keep asking God, I keep asking Him to keep me sharp. You know, the Bible said that iron sharpens iron. That means that those people who are around us ought to make us better. Amen. The people around us ought to challenge us and invoke us to do greater. We should always tell folk that as good as you've been, you ain't your best yet. Amen. That's a good one right there. You've done some really wonderful things, but I believe you can do better than that. Amen. You run the 4-minute mile, but I believe there's a 3:55 in you somewhere.
Amen. You sang that song like nobody's business, but I believe you can go a little deeper. I believe you can stand a little longer, fight a little harder. I believe there's still something in you that God can get out of you. We ought to challenge each other. When we look around and see our brothers and sisters falling by the wayside and making their excuses and shucking and jiving and shuffling their feet, we ought to say, not so. How dare you slow down on God? You're just coming into the prime of your life. Iron sharpens iron. We ought not sit around and congratulate each other for minimal service. Amen. We ought to be able to press on and see. Press on because we are recipients of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I can't get no help today. So I keep asking God, Lord, don't let me be like, and I would name some people along through here, but they're here today. Saying, God, don't let me think I've made it when you haven't said well done. Don't let me, God, get lazy and start fearing the unknown and fearing dark places. I trust you, God, and I keep reminding myself, Dr. Dixon, that when I signed on for greater adventures. I signed on for unlimited possibilities. Amen. How many of you remember signing on for that? Amen. Thank the seven of y'all that are still with me. You cannot slow down. You know how I am. Those of you who know me, I don't like people to pass me on the highway. Man, I don't like getting passed. I was on my way to church this morning and a gentleman drove up next to me, an old Buick. We got caught there at the light there at Lowe's and he looked over at me and I looked over at him and he nodded and I nodded. I said, this man don't know I'm driving a Corvette. You don't nod at nobody in a Corvette. That means let's get it on. And so when the light changed, old Buick, he took off pretty good. I said, wait a minute now. Ain't no old Buick going to leave me like I said, well, hold on a minute. I showed him what I was working with. Ain't no old Buick going to outrun me. I asked God to keep me like that. I want God to keep all my cylinders firing. I want God to keep me tuned up. And if I got to go for him, I got to go quickly. I don't want to get lazy. So I said, God, I want to live by my faith. I can't wait. And I know some of you spiritual minded folk are saying, but Isaiah said, we ain't talking about Isaiah today. We talking about some Solomon stuff right here. I can't wait. Nudge your neighbor. I can't wait. Time is of the essence. I've got to move quickly. I'm reminded of the little rabbit in Alice in Wonderland with the little watch. He's got that little watch. Y'all know the little rabbit. He said, I got to go. It's late. It's late. I'm very important date. I can't wait. I can't wait. And you got to get down every now and then. Even if you fall in the rabbit hole of life, you got to keep going. You got to be expeditious. You got to keep saying, listen, we don't have much time. Even the scriptures support that no man knows the day nor the hour that the master will return. Don't let God come and catch us with our works undone. I can't get no help. I keep saying, God, I can't be finished yet. I feel like there's more I can get done. I keep telling God, Lord, I'm available. Use me, Lord. Use me in your service. God, show me some higher plane. I can't be the only one. I keep asking God to teach me how to expect the unexpected. Y'all didn't get that. I still want God to surprise me. Amen. I still want God to send Publishers Clearing House to my door and say, you're still a winner. want God to enlarge my territory and strengthen the cords of my tent. I still want God to set me on a high place and tell me, look out there and see. I still want God to tell me to fire as many arrows into the air, strike the ground as many times as I please, and as many times as I strike it, He'll bless me indeed. Gotta be more. They wait on you. I can't keep waiting on deacons to come on board. I can't keep waiting on preachers to get on board. I can't keep waiting on choirs. I can't keep waiting on ushers. I can't keep waiting on unknown people. We got to go. I feel my spirit of giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. God, don't let me get lazy. I keep praying. And listen, there are a couple of obstacles. I'm going to hurry along. There are a couple of obstacles that you've got to learn how to get over. You can't wait. Look at your name and say, you can't wait. Two things. First of all, first thing you got to learn how to get over is stagnation. 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 The second thing you got to get over is simple satisfaction. Can I preach a little bit long here? First of all, understand stagnation. Stagnation comes in a way that we have accomplished some things and we've gotten some places. You know, we say things like, "No, I fought the good fight and I finished my course." And then you get there and you just settle down. You can't get stagnant. You got to keep moving. You got to keep the waters refreshing. You know, we got people who are around us that declare, "I'm here now. I've made it. I'm satisfied. This is my hitching post. This is all I ever wanted. I'm there now. And I'm just going to sit around. I got mine and everything is just hunky-dory. This is all that I imagined. I didn't want too much. This is just fine." You done lost your mind. There's still more than what you see. You can't just settle. Even a good road not traveled will go into disrepair. Do you know that the more you use it, the more serviceable it is? Stagnation. We sit around and I'm good. I ain't gonna push my luck. This fine. This is all right here. We don't need to do nothing else. What's wrong with what we got? I'll tell you what's wrong with what we got. We have a God who says there's more. Boy, I can't get nobody to preach with me here. Nah, Reverend, we fine. Don't push it. Don't push the people too far. Don't ask them to give more. Don't ask them to commit no more. We're fine. We're just a humble people. We don't want too much. Then shame on you. I can't wait. Oh, everybody looking at me funny now. Oh, you say go back to preaching on prayer? Can't get stagnant. You weren't meant to be stagnant. What does the Bible say? Always abounding. Look at your name and say, come on now. Sitting around here, I'm good. Y'all want too much. How can you ever want too much from a God who got everything? I mean, really, how? Listen, that's not a verse in scripture where God said you have maxed out. That's your limit. Don't ask me for nothing else. Parents may do it. Friends may do it. But God says, ask and it shall be given. Keep on looking and you'll keep on finding. Keep on knocking and I'll keep on opening. As far as you can see it, I can show it. It's stagnant. You know what happens when you don't stir it, right? Look at them and say, neighbor, if you don't stir it, it'll get stank. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You don't believe it? Go out in your backyard and get around some of them puddles that are just stagnant. Water don't drain. It can't go nowhere. What starts smelling? You start going, what is that? That's that water back there. It ain't being stirred. But as long as you stirring it, I feel my help a little bit. Yes, sir. It may not be going anywhere, but at least if you keep stirring it. It's got possibility. It's simple satisfaction. Simple satisfaction, that's one of the tragedies of the modern era of Christian people. We take the low road, the low bid blessings from God. We got this mindset, this is just fine right here. We don't need to have anything bigger than that. We are pleased that God has been so kind to us. We are not a people that are very uppity. We are just fine where we are. We are happy. Praise God. You really happy with that? And then simple satisfaction creates what I call, and this is just a good one, silly satisfaction. But it's all right, ain't it? And you got to question the status of all rightness. Does that not suggest you ought to challenge all rightness? God, there has to be more. Put me in the mind of my little friend who is in our youth ministry, young Master Oliver, who had the audacity, after eating his bowl of porridge, to walk up to the headmaster and say, I should like some more, please. More? You want more? And all of the other children start thinking, well, heck, if Oliver can do it. You do know that if you don't ask for it, seconds may not be on the agenda, but if at least you ask. Yes, not your name and say, you know, I ain't satisfied. Now that I think about it, I'm not satisfied. There has to be more than this. We can have more if we ask for more. Some of us are just so disconnected from the challenge of more that we envy those who want more. That's why when people say stuff about your pastor, you ought to tell them, shut up. How y'all let that man push y'all and want more? He always, yes, he does. And thank God that we are not going to settle. I don't see why you got to go ahead and do that. You know, when you around folk who say they can't see, suggest they visit the optometrist. You ever been around folk, every time you say something to them, I can't see that, I don't see why. You got to understand that God says you can't wait. He said, listen, if you just sit around and just wait for something to get perfect, you'll never do nothing. If you wait around for the church to get full, we wait around for the basket to get full. We wait around for the perfect music, the perfect, we'll miss the opportunity to have done something. Are we going to wait till so-and-so come on board? We going to wait till we get the right 50. We going to wait till we wait. And before you know it, we've done 10 more funerals. Missed 6 seasons. He said, you're waiting for perfect conditions. And you're doing nothing. The angel of the Lord comes down, and we're almost finished. I know y'all got to go. The angel of the Lord comes down and looks at the apostles, looks at them and says, why stand here staring? Why gaze ye men? You know what they said? He said, didn't he tell you? There's more. It's time to go, man. Come on. Urgency. How many of you have been late for work? You try to make up time, right? You get, oh my God. And you know, you put on everything fast, you know, and you click, 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 click. You get the car, pulling it, you don't let the oil warm, then you get on the highway, and you just tick, 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 tick. Listen. You know how to do it. Then why you get to the things of God and want us to move like molasses? We need to pray on that a little more, Reverend. You don't even come pray to me. You want to tell, you know, it's a funny thing to me that folk get religious when it's convenient to them being lazy. Did I say something just then? Now see, Reverend, what we ought to do is pray about that a while. You know the Bible say, they that wait on the Lord. You don't even come to Bible study. Shut up. You don't quote scripture to us because you don't want to do nothing. And you see that oftentimes in religious folk. You know the Bible said now, be still and know that he is God. What that got to do with us paving the parking lot? Slow to anger is the Lord, Reverend. Don't press him. You know, the funny thing about people who like to wait, they don't ever get nothing done. Simple satisfaction. I'm fine. You know, yay you. So you happy right there, huh? And yet you keep looking over your neighbor's fence. Yet you keep talking about that other church over there. Look what they done done. We ain't done nothing. You keep telling us to wait. Amen. He reminds us, he said, you know, there's a problem here. And Solomon addressed, he says, first of all, you have to understand something. There are no perfect conditions. You know, we've been lollygagging around here for a long time. And I said, well, it's spring, so let's preach some of that new birth, budding, blossoming kind of theology. That's what this is. You look at me and say, well, Reverend, I've been in Brookville my whole life. We done some stuff back when Reverend so-and-so was here, and boy, I tell you, we got it done. We good now. Well, what's the next generation going to testify to? That was y'all doing. See, Reverend, you know, we old now. We can't be getting in debt. You know what? We're going to die in debt. And those of you who don't have no insurance going to put us in debt because we got to bury you. He said, well, there is a point where you have to realize that stagnation and simple satisfaction is a death notice. Because if you don't keep doing, everything stops. So Solomon says, here's a remedy. He says, to illustrate this now, and we'll move quickly. He says, let me show you something. If you go back up in the top of the verses, he said, if you give generously, your gifts will come back to you a little bit later. And he says, if you divide it among many, because you don't know there may be risks. It's called investment. How many of you have investments? Okay. You understand the risk. They tell you when you come in there to E.F. Hutton and Merrill Lynch and all of these companies, they say, well, you do know now we can't guarantee a return. But you got to take the risk. And please understand, the greater the risk, the greater the reward. Some of our discipleship aren't very risky. And some of our discipleship aren't very generous. And so Solomon says, if you give generously, your gifts, it's in the word, will come. You know what? You can't take nothing out if you don't put nothing in. And you can't expect a big blessing when you kept pinching in your blessing. So he said, well, now, if ships go out, and watch this, we're almost there. He said, if ships go out, and if you plant seeds, both of them require a great deal of faith. Because the ship going out might hit a reef, it might get into a storm, it may get hijacked by pirates, a whole lot of things happen. He said, and if you plant a crop, there might be bad weather. It could be a blight. There could be seasons of drought. He said, but all of it requires a great deal of faith. Did you hear me? All of whatever you do, children, requires a great deal of faith. Y'all don't want to talk to me now. It requires it. You can't piggyback off other people's crops and other people's merchandise. You got to trust God that whatever you put in, God recognizes and will reward you for your faith. I ain't putting all my money in church. Nobody puts all their money in church. I ain't getting involved in no capital fund program. I ain't going up there no every Wednesday. You don't do nothing, ain't nothing going to happen. And don't be protesting that ain't nothing happening when you ain't doing nothing to make anything happen. I don't see what's going on. You're not a part of it. He said you got to make sure that if you indeed invest, God recognizes the level of your faithfulness. The Bible says what? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Let me see if I can get you to come along for just a minute. How many of you have a great sense of pride about being a tither? See? That ain't everybody. How many of you today feel as though you gave a good tithe or offering unto God? Proud of it. Some of y'all just raising your hands so you don't be the odd man out. Go back there and get them envelopes. Let's call the names. Where y'all going? He says, we're done. He said, listen, you have got to realize their risk. He said this. He said, if you would understand that faith is required, it's not optional. Everybody in this room is either going to be stagnant or you're going to be vibrant. You're going to have simple satisfaction. Are you going to keep on raising expectations? Ain't no middle ground. You have to realize that if you don't trust God, all bets are off. Amen. You have a God who says to you in no uncertain terms, I can be trusted. If you trust me, he said, listen, if you call me, I'm coming. If you need me, I'm there. If everybody else leave you, I'm staying. If they don't feed you, I will. If they abandon you, I'm coming to get you. You got to trust me. And he said, well, I need you to do something. I need you to trust that even in the most difficult circumstances, I'm still God. Every time I turn around, it's another blessing. Every time I wake up in the morning, it's another blessing. Every time I breathe in and exhale out, it's another blessing. Why? Because I trust God. God doesn't have to give me anything in my material life. All I trust is in my spiritual life, because if my material life is bigger than my spiritual life ain't gonna die. It's gonna die. Because I brought nothing in. He said, listen, you gotta understand life has a certain amount of risk for all of us. Some of y'all just scared. You still there? Y'all scared. You just sitting around in a church that is the body of a holy and sovereign and powerful God, and you living in fear of what might be. Can I tell you something? Being scared of it don't stop it from happening. It's going to happen anyway. But at least your testimony will be, I did my part.
Well, if I give all my money, then what I'm going to have? If I go to church every Thursday, I ain't going to have no recreation life. If I give my money, if I give my time, if I do this, so what?
At least I did my part. I didn't sit around in fear. Yes, sir. How can you ever think God wants too much when he's given you everything? Yes, sir. It's risky. He said, listen, you have to understand that's where your faith comes in. When there is no risk, there's no reward. Solomon says, well, notice next thing he says, When the clouds get heavy, it's going to rain. Mm-hmm. When trees fall, that's where they stay. But you got to do something. You can't wait. I'm just waiting. When I win the lottery, I'm going to get a church 10%. When I get my bonus, I'm going to start tithing. When I get me a job, when I get marriaged, when my children get out the house, when I finally pay off the car, when I finally get this, all of that ain't nothing but saying I'm waiting. You can't wait. You'll see, Reverend, once I get some of these bills paid. You know how you created them bills? You took risk. You went down there and signed that paper. You sent back that pre-approved. You took a risk. Then you get to the house of God, who is the God of everything, and say, we need to wait till it's just right. It ain't right yet to start a funding program. It ain't right yet to push the people. It ain't right to hire a person. It ain't right to buy this. It ain't right to go after that. We're going to run out. We're going to run out. How can you run out when our source is God? I'll tell you why you say what you say. Your faith. It's sketchy. You got sketchy faith. You ain't gonna like me long through here, but I'm coming anyway. You got sketchy faith. You gotta see it. You act like unless you can prove it, it ain't worth your investment. Unless it's easy, I'm not gonna do it. If it's gonna cost me something, leave me alone. You got sketchy faith. You can look around the room if you want. I'm still talking to you. That's why God put ears on both sides of your head. Yes, it's in the Word. The Bible says that in a given city, Jesus could do no miracles because of their faith. Not because of the size of their church. Not because of who their pastor was. Don't blame me. You can't blame me for everything and not give me credit for nothing. Amen. It was because of sketchy faith. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor. Sure hope that ain't you. Sketchy. He said, listen, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never do anything. Some of us, we get ready to go. It's 1 o'clock. I know y'all know what time that is. Y'all got an internal clock. Some of us, listen, I'm going to leave it alone. Some of us in this room are holding up this church because you got sketchy faith. And what you'll do, and you're going to do it today. I know you're going to do it. Some of y'all are already doing it now. I can see from up here. You're looking around the room for your signifying buddies that got sketchy faith like you got. And I'm seeing some of y'all going, you waving them all. Wait till we get outside. We'll talk about this later. Call me when I get home, girl. I'm talking to you with your sketchy faith. We can't go nowhere. We can't build nothing. We can't buy nothing. And we can't be nothing because you got sketchy faith. And ain't no reason to have no sketchy faith. God has proven himself to you over and over again. And you sit here and look at me with eyes of evil and envy because the truth will make you free. We stuck. Sketchy faith. You could have been anything you wanted to be. And it ain't too late. God, hear our prayer. Lord, increase our faith. We don't need to ask God for nothing else till we get this faith thing straight. With your bad self. We don't need to ask God for nothing else. Deacons, that's your prayer assignment. Preachers, that's your prayer assignment. Choir, ushers, children of God. Ask God to increase our faith. So you feeling some kind of way about it. You all in your feelings now. You're not coming back next Sunday. You wasn't coming anyway. That's your regular off Sunday. Palm Sunday or no, I ain't coming. Yeah, I might see them sunrise. I don't know. Let me tell you something. This faith thing getting us in trouble. You cannot wait. You can't wait. The default lesson, the summary of the argument is you must still stretch out on faith. God, I don't see it, but it's out there. God, I can't hear it, but it's sounding. God, I don't know, but I trust that it is. God says, try me. And see. And some of you sketchy people, you don't need to get mad about it. I mean, come on now. You can get mad about other things. You can't be sitting up here for the next few minutes going, ooh, I can't wait for the benediction. You better drop some of that hell off first. I wouldn't leave with that much hell in me today. I'd say, loose me, Lord. Pray for the preacher. But you can't say I'm lying. I ain't up here promising you nothing. I tell you what, I stand here and start promising that you're going to get rich and you're going to come into this and you're going to find that. You be, oh! Sketchy faith cancels all that. So he said, well, you're going to have to do something. He said, you got to make sure that you stay busy. Huh? Busy. Yeah. Doing what? Praying. Preparing. Positioning. Any of y'all play softball, baseball? Yeah, my athletes. You know, if the guy at the bat, center field, outfielders, baseball, first, second, third. Any of y'all, I'm a softball player. Y'all know what I'm saying. You know, we get in position, right? We set the field. We put second baseman don't just stand at second base. Second baseman slides over about 15, 20 yards this way. First baseman gets off first base back up a little bit. Everybody gets in position with expectation. So if the ball comes, we got to be able to go one way or the other. Okay? So when if you play outfield, when you hit a crack of the bat, you look and you start estimating. And so you start making moves. You check, you look, you check. And then if you think you got it, you call off the other guy. You say, ball. And the other guy said, and you try to get where it's going to be. So you can catch it. Y'all missed the point? You can't just stand there and wait on stuff to come to you. You got to make some moves. It's risky. You got to estimate. You got to anticipate. You got to be eager. Listen, you got to sometimes make diving catches. And sometimes you got to get up against the wall. Yeah. But whatever you do, you got to stay mobile. Cover your territory. Sit around, you got it. Some of y'all on the team, but you stand around, you better cheerleader than you are a player. Y'all go ahead, I'm praying. You can do it. Y'all be all right. When y'all going to build that? How much that's going to cost? Oh, y'all go ahead now. I'm praying for you. Can't wait. We got to cover our... Listen, we got assignments. God looks at us every day. So what you waiting on? You got to get busy. Cover your territory. Be alert. Be vigilant. And some of y'all come to church to go to sleep. Some of y'all can't make it past Christian Academy. How can you leave home and be here less than 15 minutes and be asleep? Do you drive? Have you been diagnosed? You have narcolepsy. You waiting. Listen, we going home. Time to go. Was that it? Yeah, that was all I want to talk about. I got some part two stuff next time around. But here's my point. Listen to me. I know, see, y'all ain't happy. Look, oh boy, listen. I got to fight my way to the car today. Listen, I'm not lying to you. The Bible says, listen to it. He says, if you stay busy and plant a variety of crops, you never know which one is going to pay dividends. Y'all watch them two young ladies walk in and put your money in. I heard the Spirit and the Holy Ghost told me what some of y'all was saying. But listen, they just planting. They don't know. I mean, they're not going to come back next week and say, look, I put $25 in there. I need 50. It's just planting. I ain't going to let nobody outplant me. I'm going to plant too. Amen.